next level. Weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Today, add more to life, a joyful spirit. Rejoice Sunday reminds us of the importance of cultivating joy. So today we'll help you experience more joy in your life, overcome the obstacles to joy, and celebrate the things that bring you greater joy.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn. Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
You are listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, a joyful spirit. Of course, yesterday was Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. And that reminds us of the importance of cultivating joy. So today, we thought in the wake of Gaudete Sunday that we would focus a little bit more on experiencing joy. What do we need to do to cultivate joy, to overcome the obstacles that stand between us and joy? How do we celebrate the things that bring us joy in a more overt way? We're here to help you celebrate, cultivate, and overcome the challenges that you face in experiencing more joy in your life.
And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing that the church really takes this Sunday and, of course, this whole week to really remind us that in the midst of Advent, which, of course, is supposed to be a penitential time, a time to kind of clean ourselves up and get us in right order with God, that to take this time, this week, and say, all right, but it's a penitential time leading us to that connection with the incarnation of Christ. We need to take that time and say, hey, you know, don't get so caught up in the cleaning up, whether it's yourself or the house for the holidays or whatever it is, that we forget to have that joyful spirit. And isn't that something we all do? You know, whether it is cleaning up our interior lives or cleaning up for the holidays, getting the house in right order, decking the halls, getting things, you know, all put the way we want it to for the holiday. We forget. We get caught up in the crazy and the busy and the must-dos, and we forget to have that joyful spirit. And the church is saying, please do this. We give you full permission. Be joyful.
Well, the thing I as a kid, I always thought it was weird that the third Sunday of Advent was Gaudete Sunday. I always thought it should be the fourth Sunday of Advent, right? I mean, why not? I mean, that's when it's closest
to Christmas. I think a lot of us think that as we look at that Advent wreath on our table and go, or at the altar at the church, and we go, what? Why is it there? Why is pink there? And then we go back to purple.
And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the liturgical reason. I need to look that up. I should do. That's something that
or if we have a liturgist in our audience, call in and let us know. That's okay, too.
But from a psychological standpoint, I think it makes a lot of sense. Because as I became an adult, I realized, you know, let's take it off of Christmas for a second. Let's talk about vacation. You know, when does the idea of vacation seem more appealing? 2 weeks before the vacation or the day before? Because you're in the crush of packing and getting everything together
registering
for all the stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, when it comes to Advent, you know, we're 3 weeks in, we're just at the point where, okay, we're through the hardest part of it. We're so excited about focusing on what's coming, but we're not in the throes of the final preparations of everything.
If I can attune that to something that is perhaps more apropos of what the season is all about, How about expecting a child?
Well, that exactly.
You know, which is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, every mom knows, every dad knows that when you hit that mark in your pregnancy where suddenly, you know, if this child was born today, we'd be safe. The lungs are developed, we're in good shape. Even though you feel like overburdened and you can't breathe and you have to be in the bathroom every 3 seconds and there's stuff going on, there's that, oh, okay. If this child is born today, we're good. And there's that deep breath you take, the joy you experience knowing that you've made it to that mark. But then you go back to, after experiencing that for a few days, that worry about, and now I've got to deliver this baby.
Well, or you know, or even just, you know, you're just ready. You're like,
you're so ready.
I just need to get this kid out.
Well, you know, one of our wonderful listeners, Sarah, was talking last week about the fact that she's 2 weeks away from delivering, and
yeah.
She's starting to really experience the, you know, oh my goodness, I've got to deliver this child, and I'm scared. And so that, you know, that's the purple candle time. Where you've got that pink candle of, yeah, I'm really nearing the end of this. And there's the baby showers because you made it to that kind of safe mark. We pray and hope that all goes well. And there's all that where the joy comes and you're thinking, okay, you know, I am officially, you know, through this, where if this child comes. And so Advent is very much the same way. We're most of the way through it. There's that joy, and then we go back into that reflection time again. But this week,
getting down to business,
and really allowing fully Christ to enter into our hearts, and all that that will mean for all of us. But this is the joyful week. You know, it was Gaudete Sunday, but we're meant to do this all week and to connect with that. Wow, there's a lot here to rejoice in and take that deep breath.
But taking a wider view of this whole question of joy, of course, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we want to talk a little bit about joy in general. We want to ask you, when are you most likely to feel joyful, both in your everyday life and in this holiday season? But secondly, what are those situations that make it harder for you to be the joyful person you'd like to be? We want you to call with either of those questions, or in response to either of those questions. When are you most likely to feel joyful, both in your everyday life and in this holiday season? Are there certain things about this time of year, or in general, that help you experience the joy that God wants you to live in? But secondly, are there certain obstacles or situations that make it more difficult for you to be the joyful person you'd like to be? Let's try to eliminate those obstacles so that you can encounter the joy that God wants you to experience. And you know, you might wonder, well, you know, on the show that really focuses on applying practical principles of theology of the body to challenges of everyday life, how does joy factor into all of that? Well, joy really comes as the fruit of living in harmony with yourself and the people in your life. It comes from fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. You know, if you use a toaster to make toast, you got a happy toaster, right? If you use a toaster to pound nails on a board, you have an unhappy toaster. Why? Because if it's making toast, it's doing what it was designed to do. If you're pounding nails in the board with the toaster, it's not doing what it was designed to do, and you're going to have a mess on your hands. Well, the same thing's true about our personhood. You know, God made us to do certain things, to behave in certain ways, to relate in a particular manner to each other. And when we can do that, and that is, by the way, what the theology of the body is all about. You know, what is God's plan for our relationships? What was God's intention for how we were to live from the very beginning of time when He first created us? What is our ultimate destiny in God and with each other? Those are the questions the theology of the body addresses. And when we live up to those ideals, when we're able to live up to God's plan for our life, or at least strive for them, then we are joyful because we're functioning more and more according to the design that God built into our very bodies, that we can understand as we prayerfully reflect on the meaning of our body and see how we were created to work for the good of others, to build community, to embody love, and to really be that sign of the kind of love that comes from God's own heart, a love that's free and total and faithful and fruitful. And when we can do that, we can experience the joy that comes along with all of that grace. So today we're reflecting on joy and asking you to either call up and share what are some of the things that help you feel joyful in general, or in this Advent Christmas season, or what are those obstacles that are stopping you from being the joyful person you'd like to be? You can respond to our question of the day either by calling 877-573-7825 or by posting your comment at facebook.com/more2liferadio. That's with the number 2. facebook.com/more2liferadio. And everybody who responds to our questions of the day this week will get their name entered in our Book of the Week drawing that we're going to have on Friday. This week we are giving away a copy of God Help Me, This Stress Is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace.
Apropos for the Christmas season.
Well, exactly. That's what I thought, too. So we'll give away a copy of God Help Me, This Stress Is Driving Me Crazy, Finding Balance Through God's Grace to one lucky listener who's responded to our question of the day, either on Facebook at facebook.com/more2liferadio, or by calling into the program at 877-573-7825. Your name will be literally entered into a hat. We'll be putting it, we're old school here.
We're very old school about this.
We've got a hat right here on the desk.
And easy to be done.
You call in, you write in, we put your name on a slip, it goes in the hat. At the on Friday, we pull your name out of the hat, you win the book. Simple as all that. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 about the times you're experiencing joy in your everyday life or in this holiday season or the obstacles that you encounter. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll go to the phones at 877-573-7825. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for your gift of joy. We thank you for showing us how we can live more abundantly and experience the harmony, the peace, the love, and the joy, most of all, that enables us to encounter life as the gift you mean it to be, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to be with all of us that we might know how to cultivate joy, how to remove obstacles that stand between us and the joy you would have us experience, how to be an instrument of joy in the lives of others, so that our relationships can be an opportunity to celebrate all the gifts that help us see life as the blessing that it is. We ask you, Lord, to remove those obstacles to joy that many of us are encountering, whether those are financial pressures or relationship struggles or work-related problems or just the stress of everyday life. Help us, Lord, to see you working and giving your grace to us even through those difficult times, so that even in the middle of our stress, even in the middle of our worry, our anxiety, our frustration, we can capture those little moments of joy, those little seeds of joy you plant in our hearts, that they might bloom and blossom and flourish and bear much fruit in our lives, in our relationships, and in the lives of those we come in contact with. Cultivate joy in us, Lord Jesus. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Well, we are talking about joy today, cultivating a joyful spirit, as we reflect further on Gaudete Sunday, and I guess Gaudete Week, since this is the third week of Advent. We're talking about the importance of cultivating joy, how to experience more joy in your life, overcome the obstacles to joy, and celebrate the things that bring you joy. And if you're not feeling particularly joyful right now, that's okay. Call up and let's talk about how you can reclaim your joy and remove those difficulties or obstacles that stand in the way. 877-573-7825 or go to facebook.com/more2liferadio.
And Greg, I just want to second what you're saying. You know, not everybody is in a joyful place every minute of the day, even during the holiday season. And when you call in and share what's robbing your joy and get, you know, into the conversation about how to make that better, remember you're serving everybody else who's feeling the same way but don't really want to admit it. So you're doing a great act of giving and service when you call in and share that as well at 877-573-7825. That number also works if you're feeling the joy and you want to give thanks to God for it today and share that with your fellow listeners. 877-573-7825.
Let's go to Kathy in Michigan. Kathy, welcome to More to Life.
Hi, welcome. I'm glad to talk to you today.
And nice to you.
Well, thank you. I was listening to you just now, and I really felt an urge to call in. I've never called in before to a show, but I had a lot of joy in my heart Friday night, and I had to share that. And I think what I'm trying to say is the joy can be a reward of perseverance. I have a 22 and a 25-year-old, and my son, who's 22, graduated in the spring from college with criminal justice, and he's been 4 months in a police academy, and it's been pretty brutal, 12, 14-hour days, and they pretty much challenge you physically and emotionally like a boot camp the whole time. And we went to his graduation Friday night, and as a mom, I felt that all those years of perseverance and doing the, I can honestly say doing the best I can, not saying I haven't made mistakes, but always feeling that I tried to do my very best. I can see God's will coming out in them. That's been my prayer since they were born. I realize that they are ultimately God's and not mine. And both of them, seeing them in their young adulthood, God working in their lives. I had no, you have no idea as a parent what they, you just, I've never tried to guide them what to do or to be. I wanted them to always choose for themselves, which is totally opposite from my husband and my profession. And it's been a very interesting journey seeing what they've both chosen. And on the other hand, the obstacle of joy, I can tell you, is it's on the other side of the coin, is fear for me, because now he's a police officer, and all the day of his graduation, all of the academy, police academy, went to a funeral of a 25-year-old police officer who was killed in pursuit. His car rolled over and hit a tree, so they all went to that funeral. And so you see both sides of the coin, the fear of the profession he's gone in, and yet the...
We lost you for one second, so just say that one
the
last
fear of the
sentence
profession
again.
He's gone into, and then the what?
And the joy of seeing how God has worked in his life to bring him to this point, to see him be such a strong young man.
Amen.
In his prime.
Well, Kathy, I want to thank you for calling up and sharing the joy that you experienced in the way that God is making his plan revealed in your children. What a beautiful reflection,
and
I thank you for that.
I thank you so much for it, and I just say to all the parents who maybe aren't feeling that today or are going through that, dear God, what's going to happen to this kid kind of moments. You know, I love the fact that you said that, you know, God has a plan for each and every one of our kids, and that, you know, he really does care even more than we do. And I would encourage all the parents listening to you today and maybe feeling that little twinge to pray the prayer of what you're saying that you've seen fulfilled. Lord, show me where you are in my kid's life. You know, fulfill your will in them, and just please give me a glimpse so that I can hold on a little bit longer. And that glimpse that you've had is something that I know, until you know he's safe at home after every shift, you'll have to hold on to every day. You know, and it's okay. It's okay to say to even your adult son, I want a text every night when you've safely made it home and locked your gun away for the evening. I'm your mom. I'll be your mom till you're 100 and billion years old and through eternity. So I want that text every night. It's okay for you to do that, Kathy, and God bless you on a job well done.
We're taking your calls about joy, cultivating joy, removing obstacles to joy. 877-573-7825. Let's go to Karina in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Karina, welcome to More to Life. Hello?
I'll make this short. Yesterday, and over the weekend, my oldest son, who was a senior in high school, was being honored and was selected to play all-star for a football team, and yesterday was the senior banquet hall, and so he gets a lot of attention. He has great athletic abilities, and I have a 12-year-old. So yesterday, when we're getting ready to go to his banquet, my son says to me, you know, I don't like the outfit you gave me, and I'm not going to the banquet hall. And I say, oh, yes, you are going. So I walked out of there and got in the car, and my mother and my son are in there, so he's not coming out. So I told my husband, you go get him and tell him. He'll listen to you. Well, my mother follows my husband into the house, and my son tells my husband, make me. And he's like, oh, well, I'm going to show you because I'm the dad. So my little son goes up to the kitchen and pulls the knife, and he says, make me. And my mother was just screaming, and she's 79 years old. And my husband comes out, and he says, you know, you deal with your son. He just pulled out a knife on me. So I walked inside, and I said, you know what, you're a little rusty, you are very ungrateful, and there's no need for you to be acting out this way. You need to get in the car. And I probably said some other words,
sure.
Okay? But instead of getting in the car, we live in the country. He runs out to the parking lot of a Mormon church that's nearby. But we're running late to my son's banquet, where he is due for some accomplishments. And so my mother, my son, and I leave, and my husband stays behind so he, the other little one, can come back home. So he did. He showed up like 15 minutes later. We went on with the banquet and trying to be joyful, but it was very hard. Came back home, and of course, my little son is just acting like nothing ever happened. And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, you need to give me some wisdom because I really don't know how to handle this. And my husband's really upset. He's just like, I cannot believe you did this to me, and I'm not talking to the little stinker. So I didn't bring up anything other than I need your cell phone and your electronics. And I was doing Christmas cards, and I told him to come and join me. He seemed very regretful, but he never said he was sorry. And he has a concert. That's why my husband travels a lot. So he's going back home on Tuesday when that's his concert. My husband doesn't even want to go to his concert. He's really mad about it. And I'm here in the middle. I call the counselor to schedule a visit because this is not normal. But at the same time, I feel like it's really attention-driven because he's jealous.
All right. Look. Well, I need to take a break, all right? But I'd like you to hang on, all right? Because I want to talk about this with you a little bit more when we come back. So the situation being that this goes beyond just what it says on the board here, that your 12-year-old is jealous of your high school son's athletic ability. There's a much deeper issue that's going on here. We'll talk about how to address the specific situation and how to handle the larger issue as well. Hang on the line, Karina. We'll be talking with you and taking your calls, folks, when we come back for the break.
Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Christ the King Catholic Worldview Series continues with Ave Maria's Al Cresta speaking on They Don't Know What We Have.
No, it was a matter of lived social experience. Everybody would develop a sense of time and a sense of history because of the liturgical calendar. We would develop a sense of community with all previous generations because we celebrated the Feast of the Saints, who were members of the community in the invisible world. We would develop a sense of international community because the church was Catholic. We were members of an international body that transcended our ethnicity and obligated us beyond our own individual nation, our race, or our class.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Listen to Al Cresta's They Don't Know What We Have on Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
You're listening to More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about cultivating a joyful spirit in the wake of Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. We are looking at, well, how we can experience more joy in our lives, remove the obstacles to joy, and celebrate in a more effective way those joyful moments that we all encounter, but maybe don't appreciate as much as we should. 877-573-7825 is the toll-free number you can call with your questions about how to be a more joyful person and remove the obstacles to joy in your life, or also your reflections on those things that help increase the joy in your day or in this season. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Karina from Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. She was describing a situation where her high school son had an athletic banquet, and she was trying to get her 12-year-old to go, and he was refusing. and she asked her husband to go and get him. And the son not only refused to come, but pulled a knife on his dad. And then she went in to go and get him, and the same sort of a deal, that he was running around and he just absolutely refused to go. They managed, at the afterward, did not address the issue, really. Karina, are you still there?
I'm still here, and that is correct.
Okay, so that was a fair summary of what went down?
Very much.
So let me ask you here. Okay, so you say that he seems remorseful, but he's not apologizing. You guys haven't spoken about this since then?
No, we wanted him to relax. My husband was still very upset. He's still very mad this morning, and
when did this all happen? I'm sorry, I just wanted to get the timeline.
Yesterday evening.
Okay, so last night,
4 or 5 o'clock. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, yeah, I understand it taking some time to kind of calm this all down. Your 12-year-old needs to basically be in kind of a timeout situation here where he is not going to be leaving his room until this is addressed. This is the kind of thing that is so serious.
Except for school today, of course.
Well, except for school, yeah, if he's still in. But you know,
he went to school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When he comes home, he's in his room until this gets addressed. I would let him know, step one, like, listen, I understand that if you're upset about something, that's fine. You can communicate that to me. We'll give you the words to talk it out. But if you ever pull a knife on us again, the first thing that will happen is we'll either call the police, who will then either take you to jail or take you to the hospital. Because when somebody threatens physical violence against somebody else, that either means that they are criminal and they need to go to jail, or they're mentally ill and they need to go to the hospital. Do you need to be in either one of those places right now? And put it right to him, because he needs to understand the gravity of that situation. I believe in my heart that he didn't appreciate what he was really doing there, that he was being dramatic, and that he was escalating it because he wanted to get your attention about something, but he did it in a completely inappropriate way that you really need to address head on and let him know that is completely unproductive. And if anything like that ever happens again, the next thing that's going to happen is that the police will be called and he will be taken to the hospital or to jail, one or the other. And that needs to be clear right up front. Secondly, once that's established, beyond just consequences, because this is something that goes way beyond. I mean, what are you supposed to do? He pulls a knife on you, so you're going to take away Game Boy for a week or something, you know, PlayStation. That's not going to do anything, right? So what's the issue here? He needs to stay in that room until he can tell you or write it out or whatever. What was the problem? Why was he so upset about going to your other son's, to his brother's athletic award banquet? What was the deal with that? You mentioned that he's in counseling. What's he in counseling for?
No, I just said I called the counselor because I was really scared that he was...
Okay, so you called a counselor.
So he hasn't
to make
been in any kind of therapy before this. You're seeing now that this is... hit this limit that we really need to get some professional intervention here, which is a good thing.
This is the first time he's acted out like this. I mean, he's had episodes when he gets into fights with little kids in school, but it's nothing that it would be of this magnitude.
Nothing like this, though. You've never seen anything like this before. And has he pouted before about not being, you know, in the same kind of league as his brother with this stuff? I mean, you know, have you seen this sort of sibling rivalry coming out before in other ways?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it really started yesterday at Mass. It's so sad because we're sitting in Mass, and he told his oldest brother, I mean, I think it was just really all attention because the day before he had been at an all-star game football and he got awarded again, and then the following day it's like, oh, here we go again with my brother getting attention. So it started Mass really where he said to his oldest brother, you don't even know the prayers. And my oldest said, you know what, you don't know them, and shut your mouth. And when we got out of Mass, he says to us, did you know that you know, my father said this word? And we're like, just stop it. Just come out of Mass and we all be peaceful. Because you never do anything about anything when he talks back or he does anything. So I know it started there, and yes, they're always, they're very competitive, and they're both very good. Unfortunately, he's only 12. He's not going to get the attention that the oldest brother is getting. He's 17.
And that is very difficult. You know, and there's that age group between, you know, that spread between siblings. The younger one often feels like, I should be achieving at the rate, you know, you've got an 8-year-old who's saying, well, why aren't I in college yet? Does that mean I'm stupid? You know, it's an illogical process. They don't get that they can't keep up with their brothers and sisters because, hey, we're all the Joneses or we're all the Smiths and I should be there. So that's, you know, an illogical perception on his part. But let me ask you, Karina, right now his brother's at a point at the end of the semester like this where he's getting so much praise and so much reward and so much, you know, attention centered on him, not only from you guys, but from his entire school. What kinds of things do you and your husband do to make connection with your 12-year-old? Are there certain activities you do together? Are there things you enjoy doing with him? Are there times you take out of the week that you connect with him besides, you know, running back and forth to school and having, you know, homework time? What do you do to connect with this 12-year-old guy?
My husband travels a lot, so to be honest with you, he doesn't do much with him. He doesn't. I pick him up from school. I'm the one who's the driver and takes him to basketball, football, band. He's a great actor. I mean, he's
You're a really good chauffeur and that a lot falls on your shoulders because your husband's gone so much of the time. And suddenly life stops and everybody shows up for Big Brother because, you know, you go to awards banquets and things.
And what he's really saying there, now listen, whenever he escalated to that point that you couldn't handle it, you know, you sent Dad in there. That was a bid for Dad's attention. You know, not just attention in general. That was a specific bid for Dad to pay attention to me, to make time for me. And what's happened here, when we can't give kids healthy ways to get our attention and get that attachment to us, they'll come up with dramatically unhealthy ways to do it, which is what happened last night. It's not just that your son is jealous of his brother. It's that he wants the kind of connection that he sees you guys having with the older one because the world stopped and everybody was attending to that. And if your husband's not around to be there for him and on those more one-to-one ways, then you're going to see much more of this. I'm going to save you thousands of dollars in counseling fees if you just change this right now by hanging up the phone and sitting down with your husband and working out ways that you guys are going to get some family time every week and that he's going to get some
one-on-one time
with your son.
Taking him out for ice cream, you know, doing something he enjoys doing. He was proud of the fact that his brother didn't know the prayers. Do the Friendly Defenders cards together or read Amy Wellborn's Prove It Church books or do something to connect with him on something that he finds interesting, but make time and write it on the calendar to do something happy with this kid at least once a week, if not every day.
I do think you're going to need more support, though. I mean, the little joke aside there, I think that you did the right thing in reaching out to a counselor. If you're not able to connect with that person, I'm going to encourage you to get in touch with us for the Pastoral Solutions Institute. We can certainly help you out over the telephone counseling to help you and your husband, especially since your husband travels so much, to be able to do a conference call and really be able to plan out a method of responding to your son's pain here. Because, you know, I feel real sympathy for him. Obviously, you can't tolerate what he did. It was patently unhealthy and completely inappropriate. But, you know, you're not going to solve it by taking things away or by adding consequences. This is a deep, deep relationship
problem. And definitely not by not talking to him and giving him the cold shoulder. He's trying to draw you in. He's doing it in a negative way. You got to give him positive ways to do it. I want you to pick up a book today, get it online, called Hold On to Your Kids by Dr. Gordon Neufeld. It is a fantastic book, very easy to implement. Please grab that as well. It will help both of you, you and your husband, so much.
I got to let you go with that, Karina. If there's more that we can do to support you, look us up online through the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice at moretoliferadio.com or call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. We'll be able to talk you through the rest of this there. Thank you so much for the call. We're going to lift you guys up in prayer. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with you about those obstacles to joy and those things that enable you to experience more joy in your everyday life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 or post your comments at facebook.com/moretolife.
Just carry your cross. That's a phrase I've heard many times throughout my life, especially while complaining about unjust and unfair people. Most recently, I've been expressing my frustration regarding people who are difficult, mean, or downright bullies. And as I was sharing with someone an ongoing problem with a certain individual, my friend said to me, Just Carry Your Cross. Now, his simple comments really had me thinking. Perhaps God put me in the situation to bring me close to Him. And instead of constantly complaining about how this person has and continues to wrong me, perhaps I need to carry the cross in silence. Sometimes we need to bind our sufferings with that of Christ as we carry our own burdens. So the next time you have the urge to express anger or frustration, just stop the complaining and carry the cross. This has been a Christ Center Communication Message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the Communication Evangelist.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. St. Albert the Great Parish in Dearborn Heights invites you to the Infant of Prague Triduum, January 10th through the 12th. Father Ben Ludke will conduct this three-day devotion to the Infant of Prague, which will include Mass each day with special homilies, benediction, rosary, and more. For further details, call 313-770-3203. Join Ave Maria Radio host Al Cresta on Wednesday, January 14th at St. Patrick's Church in Brighton. Nearing the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, Al will be discussing the aftermath of legalized abortion and what we can do to affect change. A Q&A session will follow his presentation. Call 661-805-3655 for more information. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. It seems like we Catholics look at technology in one of two ways. Either we're constantly plugged into the internet and TV, or we're running away screaming, wishing for simpler times. But it doesn't have to be that way. St. Thomas Aquinas would tell you that when it comes to technology, moderation is key. There are plenty of good, healthy ways to use technology to our benefit, especially spiritual benefit. The Vatican even encourages us to use technology to connect with others and share the gospel. Of course, good media is outnumbered by harmful media. That's why it's important for your children to see you engaging in media in a healthy, positive way. Set clear limits for your children's TV and internet viewing and always supervise. And when you're through with a specific show or website, turn it off! Real life is more interesting anyway. Harnessing media for good will ensure that it is serving you, not the other way around. For more information on raising a happy, healthy family, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life, the show that explores living a more joyful and abundant life through applying principles from the theology of the body to the challenges of everyday life. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today we're talking about cultivating a joyful spirit. You know, this past Sunday was Gaudete Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. This whole week we are rejoicing about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we are talking today about cultivating greater joy in our lives. Joy being that virtue that comes from functioning according to our design, living life according to God's plan, which, you know, is not always that easy to do, let's face it, right? And so if you are experiencing challenges to joy, then we'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk through those and figure out ways to overcome those obstacles that stand in your path. Or if you'd just like to call up and reflect, when are you most likely to feel joyful, either in general or particularly in this season, give us a call, 877-573-7825. You can also post your comments at our Facebook page, facebook.com/moretoliferadio. With that, we are going to the phones. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking right now, Greg, with Donna, listening in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you? What's up?
I called because I'm going to be truthful with you. I am not Catholic, but I'm converting. I mean, I'm going to the classes, and everything is very new to me. I never even heard of the Eucharist until about in February.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad that you're willing to learn more about it, and we hope that we'll be able to welcome you home, but enjoy the process and enjoy the journey.
I'm thrilled that you're listening to Catholic Radio as part of the process. That's fantastic.
Well, my son was killed in March of 2013.
Oh, my.
And I was in a very dark place.
Of course.
A place where there was no joy or happiness for months. every day I woke up. So in the shower, I would bow down to God. And I would ask him for mercy because the pain was so excruciating.
Yeah.
It was like being torn inside out. And I had been through divorce. I had been through the death of my parents. My brother was killed by a driver. I'd been through custody battle. But there was no pain like the loss of my son.
And may I ask, Donna, what happened? How did your son?
He was killed in a car accident.
Ugh.
And it was just like the moment he lived for 6 hours, which I was not able to see him because I was working out of town at the time. But he lived for 6 hours, and... And then after, I guess I had some friends on Facebook, one of my friends invited me to an axe retreat. And I said, I can't go, I'm not Catholic. And they said, it's okay, you don't have to be Catholic. So I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to this axe retreat. And when they do their Catholic thing, I'll just bow my head and show them respect. But I've got to do something because I wanted to die. I knew better than to commit suicide because I wouldn't do that to my family. But I wanted to die. Well, after I left the axe retreat, I just walked out a brand new person.
Hmm.
And in that journey, I went in February to the axe retreat, so it's almost...
What happened to you, Donna? How did you come out a new person?
Oh, I just... The retreat just brought me where I needed to be, and I talked to a father. I went into a confession, and I will tell you this, I was a little bit scared to go to confession because I thought it was going to be like the Godfather, you know, where they was going to be in a room and, you know, I was just,
sure.
Everything was new to me. Every single thing was new to me. And so when I went in there, he said, Donna, when you walk out this door, I want you to take your son with you because you're on a journey and your journey is not complete. But your son is with you, and he's nurturing you. And he just gave me peace. And I started leaning on the scriptures in the Bible that said, do not worry. Give everything to me. My yoke is easy. And I started just leaning the scripture where Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. It is okay for the year that I was not able to feel any joy. I knew that in the morning there would be joy. And I just have started attending the classes. I just bought a book called 33 Days to the Morning Glory. I'm not able, of course, to do anything within the Catholic Church, but just the healing that I have received since I've been going is the friends that I've made in the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I received a family that loved me unconditionally.
What a powerful witness.
And I just learned in the retreat, just real quickly, I just learned to put all my faith and trust in God. And Jesus, and you know, and lean on them for everything, and look for the small things in life because sometimes God's miracles are so small we fail to look for them.
Yeah, and for the folks who aren't familiar, Donna's talking about the ACTS retreats, ACTS, which can be a very powerful experience of really helping us connect with God's grace in some wonderful ways. I've heard tremendous stories, and Donna's is another example of that. And Donna, I want to thank you for this incredible witness to the reality that God can reach through even our deepest pain and sadness and profound grief, and what pain can be worse than losing a child? It's unimaginable to me. And to have gone through that, but to still be able to hear and connect with God's grace and feel His presence in your life and to experience the joy of being in that presence. What a powerful witness to the power of that grace and to how much God loves you, Donna. And don't ever doubt that for a second. God loves you so much. He's reaching out to you and taking your hand and guiding you forward. And I agree with Father. Your son is with you, and he's with God, and he is praying for you in the presence of God, and he is leading you into that deeper relationship with God, so that you can be together with him in the communion of saints.
And I really wanted to underline that the priest that spoke with you had it so right. You know, your son is with you in the communion of saints. This isn't some fluffy, new agey, you know, hang on to something so you can get through your grief kind of way. He's completely with you, just as we ask for the intercession of every canonized saint. All that go before us can be praying for us as we can be praying for them. And in the Mass, at the consecration of the Eucharist, it says that all are there. It's sort of that time machine, if you will forgive the very pedestrian metaphor here, where we are all one in worshiping the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in the Eucharist. So even though you can't receive yet, I encourage you to go to the Mass as often as possible, and during that time where everyone else is receiving, you can make that, you know, that spiritual communion and ask God to really, you know, come to you and let you come to him and to prepare your heart, if that's the way he's taking you to go, to be able to fully participate in all of that. But it is such a place where you can find that oneness, not only with God, but with those who have come, you know, gone on before you.
We're so grateful, Donna, for you sharing your story.
So
we will lift up your continued journey in the church, up in prayer, as well as for healing of your heart and for the consolation of your spirit with the loss of your son. But know that he is with you, just as God is walking with you during this time and leading you into deeper relationship with him. And I'm so glad you found that family through the ACTS retreat. And thank you for sharing that with us today. God bless you. What a powerful story.
And thank you for all the people that you've touched who are going through similar experiences, and all the people you have touched who are perhaps the people who need to be that family to someone who's hurting or grieving or disenfranchised from the church in some way. Remember, folks, God's asking you to be his hands and feet. You know, welcome that person into church. Don't be that person who says, oh, well, they only show up at Christmas time, or somebody's in my seat. Be that person who has that welcoming, loving smile and that attitude that says, you know, all I am is a way for you to get to know Jesus a little bit better. So many messages in Donna's call today, and I thank her so much for calling in.
We have to go to break, but we are talking about joy today. And, you know, Donna's story reminds us that God can help us be joyful and find joy again, even after the darkest times and in the darkest times to some degree as well. So if you are struggling and you would like to experience more joy and find out how to connect with God's joy in the midst of the struggles you're facing, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825, or post your question at facebook.com/more2liferadio. We'll be back with more of your calls, comments, questions, and insights coming up after the break with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak and you on More to Life. Stick around.
How would you define the word beatitude? Webster's Dictionary defines beatitude as a state of utmost bliss and a declaration made in the Sermon on the Mount. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the Beatitudes are, in effect, a portrait of the man who declared them, Jesus Christ, depicting his countenance and portraying his charity. The Beatitudes also describe the attitudes and actions that should portray and depict his followers, true Christians. The Beatitudes are paradoxical in their promises. None seems more paradoxical than number 8, which proclaims, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." The paradox is that God is present even amidst trials and tribulations. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Christmas is just around the corner and Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store on the right side of the page, just below the EWTM logo. It's an easy way to shop and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back. We're so glad to have you with us today on More to Life. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about cultivating a joyful spirit. And we're asking you, when are you most likely to feel joyful, both in your life in general, as well as at this time of year in particular? And we're also asking you to call up and share what are those obstacles to joy that you might be encountering along the way right now. You know, if there's something that is either robbing you of your joy or making it difficult for you to be the joyful person that you want to be, that God is calling you to be, then let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. You can also post those questions, comments, and insights at more at facebook.com/more2liferadio. facebook.com/more2liferadio.
You know, Greg, Donna called in and shared her very amazing story about slowly walking back from the grief she's experienced in losing her son. And I want to hit something that I think a lot of us were probably surprised at when she said that she's finding the small miracles again and that people don't take enough time to pay attention to those small miracles. And it put me in mind of something I read just about a week ago, and unfortunately I don't remember exactly where I read it. We read so much theology, so much psychology around here, trying to, you know, stay as cutting edge as we can at Pastoral Solutions. If I find the resource, I will post it on our blog. But the content of it was, I think, very moving and very worth sharing with everyone. This a person was talking about working with people who are suffering from depression. But this can be anything that's really sapping our joy or just an exercise that we want to do to you know, ramp ourselves up a little bit every day. And I've been trying to do it myself since I read about this. The suggestion was to, not just as we've talked so much about, you know, really look at being grateful for things during the day, but when we're experiencing a down moment or an anxiety-ridden moment, to stop and clue in to something we're grateful for in each of our five senses. Now, doesn't this apply to the theology of our bodies? You know, God has made our bodies so that we experience everything, but especially Him, through our bodies, through our five senses. And if we can take that moment when we're feeling frazzled, when we're feeling challenged in some way, and stop and say, what can I be thankful for that I can see right now? What can I be thankful for that I can hear right now? What can I be thankful for that I smell right now? Go through all five senses. And you might say, well, what if I can't? You know, maybe life is awful right now. Maybe I'm in the place that Donna's in right now, and it's that awful. You know, perhaps it's, As one of my best friends once taught me, who goes into really disaster-ridden situations, sometimes he takes that moment and just connects with the fact that he can feel his own heartbeat. You know, he can see the people there who are working with him. If we can take each of our senses and think of one thing to be grateful for. Sometimes we'll be flooded with a million things. You know, I can smell the gingerbread men cooking and hear the kids laughing in the kitchen and, you know, see the Christmas tree, and all of those things come rushing at us, and our mood is elevated because we realize how much we have to be grateful for, and we quickly can move on with our day with a more uplifted step. Some days it's, you know, I just heard the heart monitor ping one more time, and it means that person's still here for another second. You know, I can hear the fact that, you know, there are other people around me, and I might be able to tap into, you know, getting by because they are too. Whatever it is, whether it's abundance or a lack of abundance, try to perceive something in each of your five senses to attune you to the presence of God in your life.
Well, and that's, you know, that's a really important idea, Lisa, because I think most of us tend to think, oh, well, I'll be joyful once I get through this, or once I get over that, or once I get this done. And of course, that tends to cause us to spend a lot of our lives not being joyful. Maybe we can experience joy when that's done. Often there's just something else to do, and we get onto that, and then we'll be joyful after that's done, and I can get a break. You know, we keep moving the finish line, then we're never able to get to that place. Joyful people, research actually shows, are good at stopping in the middle of what they're doing and the pain that they're in or the struggles that they're facing or the work that they're doing, and just pausing for a moment and doing exactly what you said. You know, whether they use that particular exercise or they just reflect, they're good at calling to mind those ways God has been present to them in the past, the ways that God is present to them in the present, and those things that they are grateful for that God has blessed them with in their lives right now. When we can take that time out to just calm ourselves down, quiet our hearts and minds, and focus on God and the many blessings that He's poured out for us, even if we're not feeling particularly blessed in that moment, that experience of God's grace will allow us to encounter God once again and hear that we don't have to do it all by ourselves, that He is walking with us, and that He wants to deliver us if we'll let Him. And that makes all the difference. You know, that's what enables us to function according to our design and function according to God's will, because we are able then to connect with His grace in the moment and experience the joy of each moment, even in those times that are less than joyful. We hope we've been able to inspire you to reflect and pause for a moment on the blessings of your life and encounter greater joy as you go about your day and head into this Christmas season coming up. If you are looking for more support and more resources to help you live a more joyful and abundant life, come on over to moretoliferadio.com, where you can check out all of our resources, including our books, our podcasts, and other recordings, and especially the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more about our counseling practice at the website at moretoliferadio.com, or call to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. That's the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling line. God bless you. Have a terrific day.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck is produced by Ave Maria Radio in association with the Pastoral Solutions Institute. Find out more at moretoliferadio.com. More to Life is made possible on Ave Maria Radio in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. More to Life, the life you were meant to live.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In chapter 32 of Exodus, the people God led out of Egypt were worshiping an idol in the image of a golden calf. God wanted to consume them in His wrath and start a new family with Moses. But Moses implored the Lord, "Remember your servants and how you swore to them, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." The Lord responded to Moses' prayer and relented in mercy. Psalm 103 explains, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward those who fear Him." God's mercy was brought to the ancient Israelites through the intercessory prayer of Moses. Likewise, God calls us today to be intercessors for the church and for the whole world. We can be confident God hears these earnest prayers of our hearts, just as he heard the prayer of Moses. To learn about prayer and scripture, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
Be sure to tune in to Power from the Pews with your host, Peggy Stanton, a show spotlighting the dynamic activities of committed Catholic laity whose ministries are making a real difference in their parishes and society. Power from the Pews can be heard Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays.